and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated for the Confession of Forgiveness, found on page 894, 94 and following, the kneelers if you so desire. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, come to us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following in the front of the hymnal. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend this gracious Lord. Praise this day is hymn number 842, verses only at this time. Hymn 842, O Worship the King, verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
worship bulletin or the first page of the Reading the Prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty, benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fever we may love our neighbors and serve them for your sake. Through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
That or get a bigger print in here. What do you want to do? Let's do this.
Cheerleader voice. Playground voice.
The oracle burden that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for? And you will not listen or cry to your violence. Will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing? And look at trouble. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and connection arise. Saw the law become slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surrounded the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perfected. I stand at the watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what God will say to me and what God will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tables so that the runner may read it, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks at the end and does not lie. If it seems too tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm chapter 37, verse 1 through 9. Please follow and say the bolded with me. A song of David. Do not fret because of...
Do not be envious of wrongdoers.
For they will soon fade like the grass
and wither like a green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good,
so you will live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord,
and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord.
Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will act.
The Lord will make your vindication shine like the light,
and the justice of your cause like the noonday.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently
over those who prosper in their way,
over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath.
Do not fret, it leads only to evil.
For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait
for the Lord shall inherit the land.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. One Paul, an apostle of Jesus the Christ, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Jesus the Christ. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Jesus, the Christ, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with clear conscience, as my ancestors did when I remember who consistently in my prayers night and day, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lives first in your grandmother, Loris, and your mother, Anise, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remain to rekindle the gift of God to you. Though the laying of my hands, for God did not give us a spirit of coerce, but rather a spirit of power and of God and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, God's prisoner, but join me in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in the Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, the Christ who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I will appoint a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to stand of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith love that you in the Christ Jesus guard the good treasures entrust to you with the help of living in us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel for today, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare a supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what is commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'Worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the book of Timothy, the first chapter, and also the prophet Habakkuk. Let's pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, of each heart and the words I'm about to speak, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. We very often in the church talk about the patriarchs. Okay, we are a patriarchal church. The Jewish church is, the Christian church is, whether it likes it or not. And so we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a lot. Very seldom do we also include Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. And we should. Because, oh, the stories that these women have to tell. For every story about a man in the Bible, there are two or three good stories about a woman in the Bible. I have a book, and I look for it all week long. I have too many bookshelves in my home and in my office here at church. I have a book that's called The Bad Girls of the Bible. I love that.
the bad girls of the Bible. Now they're talking about Jezebel and some of those people, you know, Salome and all that. But I was thinking of that book, and I was looking for it all week long. I don't know if I loaned it out to somebody. I know somebody borrowed it a few years ago because they liked the title too. But for every story of a man in the Bible, there's two or three stories about women that's even better. And today is one of those days in 2 Timothy that we have. In today's 2 Timothy chapter 1, we've got Eunice, who's a daughter of Lois. Eunice is the daughter of Lois. Eunice means good victory, literally in the Hebrew. Eunice is the wife of the Gentile man, whom they think was probably Greek. Eunice is the mother of Timothy. That's why we have her in today's lesson. There's only a couple verses in the whole Bible about Eunice, but we know a lot about her. She comes from Derbe or Lystra in Galatia, okay, the Galatians. And Eunice was Jewish in background. And Lois were Jewish, and she married a Greek man. Don't know his name, don't need to. He's not important. Even though he's the father of Timothy, okay? What we do know is that Eunice and Lois raised their son and grandson in the Jewish faith and then converted to Christianity and in the Christian faith. So Timothy, as Paul writes this letter to him, like all of the Christians 2,000 years ago, were early in their faith of Christianity. Okay, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Do you know any other Eunices in your life? Think this week about Eunices that I know Lois's. I could tell you stories about Lois's. Oh my. Especially Lois Rom up in Montana. She had the best buns east of the Mississippi. Bread baking, thank you. She made the best bread in the world, and that was a joke around town. Pastor Pete thinks that Lois's buns are the best one east of the Mississippi or west of the Mississippi. And they were. Her husband was one of the first ones I buried when I became a pastor up there 36 years ago. He had just retired from ranching and farming, and they were going to travel and have a life together as the sons were taking over, the two sons, the ranch and the farm. And he died of a mess. I could tell you stories about Lois's, but Eunice, I know only one other Eunice in my life. Okay, see if this rings a bell. 1974 to 1978, the Carol Burnett Show. Remember Mama? Her daughter was named Eunice. Some of the funniest skits ever on TV were done by Carol Burnett and her crew of people, okay? If you Google Eunice, what comes up is Carol Burnett on the Google machine, right? There's more about Carol Burnett and Eunice than there is about Eunice in the Bible. But today we remember Eunice in the Bible. Eunice means good victory. And I said it was in the Hebrew. Not the Hebrew. Eunice is the Greek word. And then Timothy means in God's honor. Timothy was having a problem. And so the Apostle Paul, who considered himself a spiritual father to Timothy, wrote him a letter. And this is kind of the crux of it. I will quote a theologian because he says it better than I do. Timothy is ashamed of the suffering that Paul, and perhaps Timothy himself, must endure for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. Plain and simple, that's what the whole letter's about. Timothy's ashamed that Paul has to suffer for Jesus' sake. Paul is under a prison, has endured even though no one came to Paul's defense. In general, people have abandoned Paul. He's in prison after all, right? Arrested for being a follower of Jesus Christ and a proclaimer of the gospel. Although there is a powerful tradition in the glory of martyrdom and suffering in Judaism and early Christianity, along with the model of Jesus himself, these traditions do not eliminate the sense of shame that Christians experience in the abuse that many of them endured. It was not a good thing to be arrested 2,000 years ago, just like it's not a good thing to be arrested now. And Timothy was ashamed and angry that Paul might have to suffer on behalf of Jesus. And Paul goes on, if you read the second lesson and read the whole 2 Timothy, it won't take any time this afternoon. Paul goes on to say, we must endure our suffering. We must endure being in prison for the sake of Jesus Christ, who's the best treasure of all. They can put me in prison if they want. They can chain me to the wall. Somebody in Sunday school said, if he was chained to the wall, how did he write the letter? Good question. He had a secretary. We should endure that kind of suffering because of what Jesus suffered for us. Paul was saying, it's okay. It's okay. This journey from suffering to glory is the heart of the gospel. The challenge is to hold on. And yet, do we trust enough in the unfulfilled promises of the gospel and of God when so much evidence in our lives seems to contradict them? War, rumors of war, hurricanes, which you've heard a lot about, and we will pray for this day. People arrested, testing, whether it's political or religious or social reasons. Paul says, for the great treasure of Christ, we should endure all these things. And that's what the prophet Habakkuk is saying too in the Old Testament lesson. I love Habakkuk, or if you want potato, potato, Habakkuk, okay? I asked Reverend Casperson in Sunday school today, how do you say it? He goes, Habakkuk. That's how I always learned it too. With potato, potato, Habakkuk or Habakkuk, you can do either one, just say the name. One of the great prophets. In the bulletin it said, injustice and violence in the time leading up to the Babylonian exile moved the prophet to lament. Lament means he was angry at God. How can a good and all-powerful God see evil in the world and seemingly remain indifferent? That's the question that the prophet has in the first lesson for today. You read it well, thank you very much, but I'm going to read a portion of it again today so you hear it, okay? The prophet says, Habakkuk, quote, O Lord, how long? For the past 25 years, this has been my favorite prayer. Forget the Lord's Prayer, forget now I lay me down to sleep, forget even the table prayer, you know? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, let this food to us be. I know that one best of all. Yay. My prayer is, O Lord, how long? Just like Habakkuk. He goes on to say, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence? Think Ukraine and Russia. And you will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack. Think 2022 here, folks. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Okay. Yay, Habakkuk, you know? He's saying out loud to God what we all are thinking. You know, come, Lord Jesus, come now. What are we waiting for? And God answers him. Did you hear the answer today? Listen. Then the Lord God answered me, Habakkuk, and said, quote, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. The righteous live by their faith. Now, God is a good theologian. I love God dearly, right? That's why I'm here right now. Because God is saying, there's an appointed time for this to happen. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It'll surely come. It will not delay. Christians can say, we've been waiting 2,000 years, Lord. How much longer do we have to wait? The Apostle Paul said, it's coming in my lifetime. That's why you shouldn't get married. Unless you're burning in your loins, don't get married. Don't have children. It's okay. Because the end of the world is coming as we know it again. all of the tent revivalists that we sang the first hymn. You did really good with that. You're better Southern Baptists than you are Methodists and, you know, other things. Presbyterians. That was good. That was a good hymn. You know that. Most tent revival preachers will say, the end is near. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Which isn't such a bad sermon. Shouldn't be preached in fear, however. God says, the time will come. I said in adult Sunday school this morning, we started up again, you're all invited, by the way. But in adult Sunday school, I said, the theological out for this is, we wait for God's time. God's time is not our time. We wait for God's time, whatever that means, okay? Some of you know, the people at the post office know me so well, I buy stamps by the hundreds, and not just at Christmas time. I send 10 to 12 letters, personal letters, not business stuff. I do that many for the church, too, a week. 10 or 12 letters a week, that's how I converse and talk to people. I don't Twitter, I don't text, I don't do email, I don't do FaceTime. I hate FaceTime. And my friend goes, all I see is your armpit. I said, well, that's the best part of me. There you go. FaceTime, you know? I write letters on stationery heading. I've got all kinds of stationery. One of my favorite ones addresses what Habakkuk is. It says, quote, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not the end yet. I love that. That's putting your hope in God. Everything will be all right in the end, whatever the end is, whatever that means. And if it's not all right yet, hurricanes and war and famine and pestilence and disease, if it's not all right yet, then it's not the end. That's what God is saying to the prophet Habakkuk. Wait, wait patiently, and I will come. You know the story better than I do. God did come to this earth. God did come to this earth and show us God's love in the form of Jesus, whom we call the Christ. And what did we and they do with him? They hung him out to dry because he didn't play the game by the rules. He said, love your enemy as you love yourself. If you have two coats, give one away to the person who's shivering and needs a coat. If you've got wealth, share that wealth, Zacchaeus. Rich man, rich woman, whoever you may be. People didn't want to hear that sermon, so they hung him out to dry. And God let them. And God said, from death I will bring life. From anger, I will bring love. And Jesus reached out his arms on the cross to everyone and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truer words have never been spoken. We never know what we're doing. We just muddle along day by day. And if it's not all right yet, it's not the end yet. I got to thinking this week about Eunice in the Bible, not Eunice Carol Burnett, and about Lois. This last summer, as my mother and my sister and I got together and we went to the Oregon coast, we had time to sit down. And my mother said, you know, a lot lately. And I was like, well, what's new? And she said, if it wasn't for your two grandmothers, Grandma Beek and Grandma Sowers, we would have no faith. Forget about not being here, you know, birth and all that kind of thing. We'd have no faith. It was our two grandmothers that brought us to the faith. Grandpa Beek would drop off his wife and his only child to Sunday school and worship every week. And 3 hours later, he'd come and pick them up for lunch. All of his life, he did that. Didn't go to church. His son became a Lutheran pastor. His grandson became a Lutheran pastor. Go figure. Grandma Sowers made sure that her daughters were baptized in class and that in a Lutheran church because that's what she was raised as in Michigan, where she came from before she went to Portland, Oregon, and she met her husband. Grandpa Sowers had left the church. At 15, he left the church, he left his family, he left everything, and he joined the Navy, lied about his age. He was so young, and it was so long ago, that he was in the Navy during the tall ships with the sails, right? Sail needles and all that kind of thing. You rigged the sails and that. He was so young that he fought in World War I and World War II. And before he fought in World War II, because of his daughters and his wife, my grandma, he came back to the church. He had left the Roman Catholic Church, said, forget it. He went to meetings. They used to pay soldiers. Get this, World War I. They'd pay soldiers to fake a broken arm or fake a broken leg at a tent revival meeting. And for $5 in 19, you know, what was that, 18, whatever it was? For $5, you could be healed. They paid the sailors $5 to fake the injury and be healed. Praise the Lord. Well, my grandfather, he knew how to make money, and so he did it. What a sham this religion thing is, right? Until his wife, my grandmother, and his daughter said, there's something to this. He'd always say, let's go to the beach every Sunday. Let's go to the beach. Oregon, it's not that far. They wouldn't get out of the car. They didn't want to get sand in the car. They didn't want their toes wet. He just wanted to make sure that the ocean was still there. He loved the ocean so much that he would drive from Portland, Oregon, all the way to Cannon Beach or Seaside. They wouldn't get out of the car. They'd make a U-turn and go back home to just see the ocean. His daughters and his wife said, we aren't going until after we go to church. What? I am my grandfather's son. You know me well. I love the ocean. The Tetons and the Rockies are a pile of rocks. They don't move. They're beautiful, especially with snow on them. But the ocean's kinetic in that. I am my grandfather's grandson. The fact that his wife and his two daughters wouldn't go on a little junket, a Sunday drive to the ocean with him, but they'd rather go to church with Pastor Weiss, who was the pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church from 1915 to 1922 in American Falls. That's when it was Martin Luther Church. But the pastor that my mother was confirmed by and married by, along with my father, my aunt, and my uncle, was the pastor who was here in 1915 to 1922. Talk about a small world. Pastor Weiss. It's because of my grandmothers that we are in the faith. My sister and I and their children. Both of my grandmother Sowers' daughters married interns, pastors in the church. There were 9 years in a row in that congregation, Oregon City, Oregon. 9 years in a row that women of the congregation married interns that came and served there. Go figure. My aunt was one of the first ones. My mother was one of the last ones. But it wasn't because of my mother and father's faith. My father was a pastor. He was my confirmation teacher. My mother was my vacation Bible school teacher. But it wasn't because of them. It was because of my grandmother. How many of you are Eunices and Loises, especially Lois? How many of you have nieces and nephews that should be here in worship, like Timothy was in the synagogue and in the Christian church? Never underestimate the power of your witness to the faith. Never underestimate the power of what you might say to your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors, and your friends. Never underestimate your witness. You most likely have never been put in prison for your faith. If you have, please share that story with me. Please, this week. You most likely have never been punished or abused physically because of your faith in the same way the early fed to the lions in the Colosseum. That was the worst form of abuse, eaten up by lions in Rome. And yet, never underestimate the power of your words and your witness of God's love. You may not bring your children or grandchildren to church, but to give them a hug and say, I love you, that's the gospel. You're preaching the word of God then. They may not come to Vacation Bible School or Sunday school or the like, but to be shown that love by grandmothers and mothers, Eunices and Loises. I asked three women in preparation for this sermon today. I asked three women this week, what do you know about Eunice and Lois in the Bible? And they looked at me like, what? They could tell me all about Carol Burnett. You know? But one of the three women said to me, Pastor, they're women of God. It was like a light bulb went off and it was a revelation. Pastor, they're women of God. They're women of faith who share their faith with their son and grandson,
grandchildren like my sister and myself. And that says it all. Today we lift up the women of faith like you. Get your hymnals out. Come on up. Get your hymnals out. Hymn number 812. Weeks ago, this was picked as the hymn of the day. Go figure. The Holy Spirit has a real sense of humor. I love this. Hymnals, 812, because you're going to be singing. So don't look at me like, oh, homework. We don't want to do this. 812. Faith of our fathers. You know that hymn well. Sing it like you mean it. Okay, we'll remain seated. But we're going to sing. There's some new verses there in the new hymnal. Verses 1 through 3, we're going to sing in the musical notation. Those are the words we know. But then go to the next page. See verse 2? It says, faith of our mothers. Faith of, and the words are really kind of wonky. It's kind of, it'll be interesting how we sing them. Yeah, I'm over here. Yeah, verse 2. Oh, she just has a play. We're going to sing four verses today. 812. Faith of our fathers, yay. Because my grandfathers, bless their hearts, they were important people in my life too. But the faith of our mothers, listen to those words as we sing them. Listen to the words also, and think about Timothy, who suffered for the faith. Think about Paul, who suffered for the faith. That's what we sing when we sing faith of our fathers, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, let alone, you know, the women of the book, the women of the Bible, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and all the rest, the bad girls of the Bible. We sing this hymn now as our hymn of the day, hymn number 812, verses 1 and 3, and then the last verse is number 2 on the next page.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, the prayers of the church are remembering our prayers in the church, our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kemple. We pray this whole month of October for the Willow Bay Baptist Food Bank here in America. Nationally and around the world, we pray for Ukraine, Russia, and all the nations around the world involved in that European crisis, also known as a war. We pray for people who have lost property and life due to the wildfires, heat, drought, flooding in Jackson, Mississippi, Georgia, Pakistan, and then due to the hurricanes and the like in Florida. We pray for all firefighters and law enforcement officers and EMTs and first responders of these crises who put their lives on the line in order to save and protect people. We pray for all those sick, hospitalized, and needed in any way, and then due to death and burial this past week. We remember in our prayers Mary Barrett McConnell, who died last Sunday, and whose funeral was on Friday in Mountain Home. This is Maxine Olson's aunt. We also remember in our prayers a member of our congregation, Cecil Dornick, who died unexpectedly on Thursday. His visitation will be on Tuesday morning from 10 to 5 here at the church. Funeral service will be Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. here at St. John's. Funeral dinner will be at 11:45 immediately following the funeral. And then at 1 o'clock we will be heading towards Aberdeen for the committal with the family. But Tuesday morning from 10 until 1, everything's happening here for Cecil. So remember him in our prayers along with his family. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. We pray for your holy church in every place, and those who serve following the example of Christ, especially the Eunices and the Loises in our lives. Help us to live by trust and faith and walk by the light of your gospel. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Bless all those working in the fields and on the roads this harvest season, and keep them safe. We pray and ask blessings for all those affected by fires, floods, heat, hurricanes, flooding. Restore and protect their habitats and their homes. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations and the peoples of the world. Your world is shattered and the nations rage. Remember us in your mercy. Inspire all rulers, leaders, and governing authorities with your justice, mercy, and peace. Take away from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. God, you are steadfast love and mercy, bringing your presence to all who are experiencing emotional, mental, and physical distress, especially those we now lift before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Send us as your healing presence in their lives. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. God, do a new thing within us, especially as we come together to worship and sing your praise. Build up and strengthen the ministries and mission of this congregation. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of compassion, we pray for all who are working through and suffering from the world's pandemics. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and in the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially Mary, Cecil, and those whom we name in our own hearts and minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow, in our joy and our celebration of their lives. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. God of grace,
hear our
prayers. Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. Today in the church here is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcasts. Happy birthday today to Pam Schroeder and Stephen Blaker. Happy birthday this week to Calvin Dyer, Cedar Webster, Diana Campbell, Jim Halderson, Ann Brumfield, Kendall, Mark Chips, Jennifer Unruh, and Piper Thompson. This week is St. John's. Look at your insert in the bulletin and check out that page in the schedule there. Are there any other announcements or corrections to what I have said or that's in the bulletin at this time? I invite the communion sisters and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion, and we offer our offertory is hymn numbers 465, Adds the Grains of Wheat. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion. Hymn 6465. joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Christ given to you. The body of 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 Christ. The body of Christ given to you. 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 The body of you. The body of Christ given to 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 you. Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Rise, Savior, for ever. Raise him high, O Lord.
you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us in faith and trust toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sent forth by God.